And today we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to base our life on the scriptures. And I don't know if you have ever get this on there. It's changing on your screen. Have you ever purchased something or bought something that you ended up never using? You ever done that? Like, is it still? Like this? Yeah. Somebody, how many ever bought a book and never read it? Or a tool or a gadget, maybe for your kitchen or something, never used it. Or your garage, yeah, something for your garage. Or how many have received a gift that you never used? Oh, there we go. Thank you, Angie. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we get that we just don't do anything with. And sometimes that's okay. But also when we hear things, there's a lot of stuff we hear all the time. And there's a lot of that we don't do anything with, which is probably sometimes good. When we talk about a culture of a group, it's the lifestyle that group typically has. What are they basing their life? What are they trying to? If you look at the group, you could list, say, well, this is what they're like. Well, our desire, and it's on the front of our bulletin, but one of our desires here at Main Christian Center is that our lifestyle is based on the scriptures. It's based on the Word of God. But what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that God gave this word, he inspired men to write what he put in their heart. Not every word in here is God speaking, but it's what God wanted us to know. And I appreciate that he didn't hide the bad stuff, you know, that he pointed out the imperfections, the struggles, and everything that everyone had. But he also, as we heard today, even some of the scriptures, he gave us hope. And so that's part of what it means. But just looking at or just believing that this is the Word of God doesn't necessarily mean that that's what we define as being a Bible-based Christian. Just believe. There's a lot of people who believe the Bible is the Word of God that are what I would say is not what I would define as Bible-based Christians. So what does that mean to be a Bible-based Christian? And Jesus referred to this in the scriptures, and it had a lot to do with our hearing, had a lot to do with what we how we hear things. And so one of the scriptures we want to look at first is found in Matthew chapter 7, and starting in verse 24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built the house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, there's a lot of similarities within these two people. What are some of the similarities that both these individuals had? They both heard, right? They both heard. They both built. They both went through the same situations of life. One didn't necessarily have it better than the other one. One didn't ever have that they never experienced what the other one faced. But what's the main difference between the two of them? And what is the foundation? But what makes the foundation? It's what they did with what they heard. That is what, and that word actually is practice. And I know sometimes that could be negative in some people. It's word, but it actually means that you take something and make something out of it. So when we hear the Word of God, when we hear God speaking, it's taking it and working with it. It's actually working and applying it. How does this work in my life? Can you hear from God? Can all of us hear from God? Can everybody? Well, God speaks. He's speaking an awful lot. But Jesus said in John 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I think it'd be good. Can we say that together? Say, I can hear from God. Now let's say it with even more confidence. I can hear from God. So the best way to learn to hear from God is the scriptures. Reading the scriptures and listening to his voice and listening to him. It's a tuning in that happens when we're listening and reading the scriptures. And it's not just when we're first learning to hear God's voice. This is always good to keep doing this because it keeps us tuned in. Because if you get away from this, you're going to get out of tune. You're going to get into things and start hearing things like, oh, what is that? To honor God is to honor his word. That's part of hearing is to honor his word. And you may have tried to hear from him. You might have thought it was maybe even reading the scriptures, thought, well, that's confusing or that's too hard to understand. And, you know, one of the things I would strongly encourage is whenever you read the Bible, you ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what it means. Because the Bible says that he's the one that's going to teach us. He's the one. So as we open it, just say, Holy Spirit, help me understand. Help me understand what this is and how to apply it to my life and what happens. And the thing is, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to get this massive revelation of every single thing. But it's listening. It's listening to him. And you know, the Holy Spirit helps Christians and non-Christians. The Bible says for non-Christians, he draws them. He continues to draw them to him. But for us as Christians, he lives in us. And he helps guide us into truth, all truth, if we let him. There's another parable that Jesus talked about, and it's found in three of the Gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to look at Luke's recording of this. And it's called the parable of the sower and the seed. And starting in Luke chapter 8. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on. The birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. In Matthew and Mark, it says it has no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. In Matthew and Mark, it also adds a crop had produced a crop of 30, 60, and 100. So then Jesus says, and this is what the meaning of this. He said, this is the parable. So he explained to them what happens. He says, so we hear the word. We hear God speak to us. He says, the devil comes and he tries to take it from our heart. Now, the word there actually means what happens is when we do not understand it. That's really what happens. When we don't understand the word of God, it positions that word that the devil can come and just snap it right from us. What it means is basically we look at it and we think, this is not for me. Or it may not be. I mean, I'm not saying every single thing you hear is for you. But there's a point is looking at, even when you're reading the scriptures, it's like, well, what's this got to do with my life? Today, a lot of people don't look at the scriptures and say, well, that's not relevant for today. This is the most relevant book in the face of the earth right now for today to help mankind. I look at nations, I look at people, and I look at life, and I think the life that I see, the lives I see based on this are the lives that have meaning. There's blessing, there's goodness, there's change. So this is the way to build your life on is the word of God. So we do not see, one part is when we don't see how this is applicable for our life. Or what this has to do with my life. You know, there's something about reading the scriptures that just reading the scriptures, the Bible says, the promises, there's something happens to us. In Ephesians 5, it says there's a cleansing that happens to us. Just reading the scriptures, there's something powerful, supernatural that happens in our life. Excuse me. when we're looking at, you know, if I wanted to learn math, the first book I won't pick up is a calculus book. You got to learn the beginnings. There might be someday I'll get to that. The same thing with God is that there's a part of starting and learning the simple things and understanding Him. I would strongly encourage you. I know that there's some good stories of the Old Testament, and that's good. But to read through the New Testament maybe two or three times before you jump into the Old Testament, because the New Testament will help you understand better what the Old Testament's about. And remember that this whole thing with God, it's not a race. It's a relationship. And sometimes we feel like, I gotta learn this, I gotta know this, I gotta change this. And we real forget that it's a relationship. It's not how quick you can mature and reach certain heights and ministries and do certain things. It's a relationship. If you do all that and you miss out on the relationship, you missed the purpose why Jesus came. He came that we can have a relationship and not be in a race. So Jesus goes on to explain what this parable means. He says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but have no root. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So God speaks to us. We hear something. He prompts something as we're reading the scriptures. But then there's a challenge to that word. There's a challenge that comes. It's like, that's just too difficult. Or that's not popular. And everybody else is doing that. And God, you're saying not to do that. And it's not fun. That positions again for that seed, what we hear, to not do anything. To not produce the fruit and the blessing. So there is that testing time. Those times when that seed, remember we talked about the practice, the wrestling with that. It's keeping it applied. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Excuse me. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries. This is another explanation that Jesus said of what happens. He said they're choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. That is an area I feel catches a lot of people. I know it catches me. It's one of those things that I have to watch, and I've had to watch most my entire adult life. And years ago, God gave me a verse that helps keep things in perspective. Matthew 16:26 says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So every once in a while, I hear the Lord saying, where's your soul? What's going on with your soul? Yeah, you might be making progress and you might be doing a lot of stuff, but where's your soul? You know, and a good thermometer to where my soul is my family. Is where's my family? You know, are my priorities out of order? Have I been spending, neglecting my family? What's going on? You know, that, for me, I'm saying that's what God, that's the thermometer. He says, what's going on with your life and what's going on with your family? And where is this relationship? Am I spending, do I feel there's a relationship? Or are we just going through the motions? Are we just going through the what I feel I'm supposed to do? Have I really heard Him in here? So those are the challenges that the Lord, that's what He's challenged me is, it is one of those things when we hear God, those things in life can catch us and cause us to not be fruitful. And the last one, which is the one we really want to focus on, says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Matthew says, hears the word and understands it, which again, that word understands means you join it to your life. He said, if you want to produce that crop, how are we joining the word of God to my life? Jesus told his disciples, he says, you know, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of them. This is how important this parable is. He said, if you don't understand this and understand the principles in this parable, it's going to keep you from understanding the rest of them. So what is good soil? How do we have a life that has good soil? Well, James, Apostle James, which is Jesus' brother, not the 12 apostles. The one who wrote the book of James is not Jesus' one of the 12 apostles. He got martyred right off the bat. This is Jesus' brother. And if you read in the scriptures, this is his brother who did not believe in him until after he was resurrected. So his family said, basically, if you read what I was like, why don't you go ahead and go to Jerusalem and get killed, you know, get out of our life pretty much. But then he became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. This is James. He says, you know, he says, how many of you looked in a mirror today? How many of you look? Do you remember right now exactly what you look like? No. I look in the mirror. I don't even know what I look like when I looked in the mirror. That's why a lot of times those of you are fixing my collars and my things. Says Lois, did you look? I guess I never looked. But sometimes they say, you know, we can look in the Word of God. James says, don't deceive yourselves. Do you believe we can deceive ourselves? If the Bible says don't do it, then that means we probably can. Don't deceive ourselves. You know, that's one of the things I've shared with the leaders is being careful. Lord, help us not walk in deception. Help us not walk in deceiving ourselves and thinking everything's just great and I'm just doing great and all that's fantastic. Not that we walk around in condemnation, but we also are open to hear the Holy Spirit, that we're not closed off to what the Holy Spirit says. And he says, don't deceive yourself in looking at the Word of God. He says, but look intently into it. And he calls it into the perfect law that gives freedom. When we hear God, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, purpose of the Word of God should bring freedom to us. Doesn't mean it won't be difficult, but there's freedom. There's freedom in that. So in the parable of the sower and the seed, they heard, and part of having a noble heart, it begins with our attitude toward God. Jesus challenged a group of leaders back in the Old Testament. He says, you know, you don't have room for my word. He said that. He says, you don't even have room for my word. Because they were so full of their preconceived ideas. They were so full of their own beliefs and own the way that things are supposed to happen. He says, you don't even have room for me to speak to you and to hear what God is doing. And so part of having a noble heart is making room for God's word and being willing to hear him. But a big part of having a noble heart is when we see God for who he really is. When we see God as God. When we see him as the creator and our savior and almighty and powerful and all wise, our heavenly father. When we see him as who he really is, that positions our heart to hear him with a noble heart. To hear and respect. You will honor those, if you think about people in your life, those you honor, you listen to. And the more we honor him, the more we put that in the right perspective, we pay attention to. So the next part then is, what do we do with that? So he says, we position our heart and then we hear him. God speaks to us in many ways. Whenever he speaks to us, you should be able to confirm it through the scripture. And we'll make it real simple, real simple. It should not violate the two greatest commandments. It should not violate love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to say, God, is this you? Well, how does it fit in these two verses? And so that's one thing when God speaks to us, that it should be based on here. And part of the whole purpose of him speaking to us is it should also, one of the things, it helps us in our relationship with him. When we're looking to hear him, what we're really looking for is him. Not just a thing to do, not just a commandment or a good idea, but it's him. Looking to see who he is, looking to find him and all that. And we're promised that if we find him, if we seek him, we'll find him. One of the next things it says, a noble, good heart hears the word, and then it says it retains it. You guys know what it means to retain. So how do we retain the word of God? Excuse me. The first and foremost way to do that is put it into action. The moment you start practicing something, the moment you start doing something, it helps you build that muscle memory. And that could be also in our soul. Helps us know how to react. And we all need retrain. We all need God to show us what it means to be like Him. What it means to be like Christ. And how many of you ever played an instrument? How many of you had to practice that instrument? Did you pick it up and just play it just like that, just perfect? No. You know, it's the same thing. When God speaks to me, I'm not going to get it right the first time. I'm going to practice it, and then He's going to show me. How many of you played a sport? Excuse me. And how many of you had to practice that sport? There's a big sport going on today. Those guys have to practice. And so part of that practicing, part of that, it's the same concept as in the Word of God. There's taking what He shows us and practicing in it and saying, how does this fit? How does this work for my life? How am I going to fit into this? I mean, all those guys, like all the guys on the New England Patriots, they all do the same lot of exercise. They go through a lot of the same routine, but they have different roles, different responsibilities. Same with us. There's things that we do, we practice, but how it comes out. So, for example, the Lord might be speaking to me on Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. Lord, how am I supposed to practice that? How am I practicing loving my wife? Or another verse is Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but what only is helpful for building others up. Lord, how is that going to affect my life? How am I practicing that? And once I start doing that, then I can retain it. If I just try to remember it without practicing it, it's very hard to retain it because you're not applying it to our life. But applying it and retaining it helps back. So that's part of what Jesus said is making and producing that good fruit. Excuse me. And there's a principle, I believe, in this parable that teaches us that God's not going to all of a sudden say, okay, here's 180 things I want you to do. I want you to do all these things. But the principle is, if you do the one thing that He's speaking to your heart, that one thing will produce fruit in your life 30, 60, and 100 fold. That one thing, if we're walking that one thing of obedience in that one area that He's speaking to us, it'll affect our life in all kinds of other areas. And that's why listening to the Holy Spirit and not just trying to perfect ourselves and start thinking, okay, what do I need to fix in myself? But it's more like, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to be? It's not just fixing, it's being. What do you want me to be? What do you want me to how do you want me to love others? What is it that you're doing in my life? And the last thing Jesus said in producing this crop, He said that it's the area of perseverance. In other words, if I don't get it right the first time, I'm going to do it again. If I don't get it right the second time, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to learn. If I don't get it right the 20th time, I'm going to do it again. If I don't get it right the 100th time, I'm going to do it. Each one of those times we're learning. That word is applying to our life. And there's so many scriptures that, I don't know about you, but it's a life project. You know, things in here is like, I can always keep learning and growing and basing my life. So part of learning to be a Bible-based Christian is believing the Bible, hearing God's word, but also practicing it, applying it, persevering. And that's what produces that crop. It's actually letting the word live in me. And if you look in the scriptures, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word made flesh. So what we're really doing is we're recognizing Jesus. What we're really doing is saying, Jesus, I want to recognize you. How do you want me to be a husband? How do you want me to be a father? How do you want me to be a friend? How do you want me to be in my job or with my friends or with people? How do you want me to be in life? And what we're doing is when we're looking at the scriptures to line that up, but what we're doing is we're recognizing Jesus. How do you want to recognize yourself in me? If our musicians could come up, if we could stand, please. So what is God saying to you? Remember, He speaks to us. Don't think, well, he doesn't have anything to say to me. He does. You know why? Because he loves you. And when you love somebody, you talk. There's communication. So is there something that he has spoken to you on which maybe you have given up? And are you willing to be a person who hears and practices God's word? We have a prayer that I'm going to ask if you'll be willing to pray it together. We're going to and say it together. It's just a prayer commitment to God of just a fresh positioning in our heart, recognizing him and welcoming that noble and good heart that we can hear and do what he wants to do. So if we could say this together. Heavenly Father, you are my Lord and my God. I come before you now to offer myself to you, Lord God, all of me, my body, my mind, my soul, and my spirit. All I have, all I am, are yours and yours alone. Lord God, I freely and willingly submit my will before you now, that you will lead me. I ask that you help me have your word dwell in me richly, and that the peace of Christ will rule in my heart. Teach me, Lord, what it means to live in you and for you to live in me. Expand me into the new areas of life which you have destined for me. Lead me, Lord, onto and along the path which you have chosen for me, so that I may live the life you came to give me. Lord God, as I submit myself to you, I commit to act, to speak, and to choose for the sake of your kingdom and not mine. Father, I pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen.